This is session number 64 of the Gospel according to John. We're in John chapter 9, where we've seen Jesus heal a man that was blind since birth. And then over the last few sessions, we've seen the back and forth between the blind man and the Pharisees, as he has been called to the witness stand. And by the grace of God, he has stood as a faithful witness to what Christ did for him and to the truth of God that he knows according to what he's heard and to stay true according to his conscience. We saw this man who's been blind his entire life and is not a religious leader with far more wisdom and understanding and purity of conscience than all the Pharisees put together. After his stand for the truth, we saw last time that he was cast out of the synagogue. And so today we're going to come to the end of this chapter. We'll be looking at verses 35 through 41, where we're going to see Jesus Christ come and find this man. And we're going to see faith in the Son of God, and we're going to see worship, and then we're going to see Jesus give a final word on judgment. So let's read the text, and then we'll go back through and break it down. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. So back in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And so the first thing we're going to see is Jesus finds the man who's been cast out. Jesus heard. Praise God. He is listening, and he is attentive to those who are seeking to be true to God and true to their conscience. Jesus heard. And he heard that they had cast him out. Now, this is ironic, but being cast out of the synagogue by the Pharisees is actually one of the best things that ever happened to this man. Jesus would not have come found him or rescued him while he was still in the synagogue with the Pharisees. Jesus had left that domain. He wasn't dwelling there anymore. He has no part of their operation. So for them to cast this man out, that's the best thing that could happen to him, because Jesus is now able and ready and willing to come find him. And so then it says, and when he had found him, hallelujah, better to be lost and cast out by men and be found by the Son of God. And I love the wording. It's almost implied that it was a given that Jesus would come find him once he heard he was cast out. One thing we have to understand is Jesus will not leave those who stand for truth on their own. He will come find them and reveal himself to them so that they might know him. So Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him. Notice, Jesus doesn't just find him and hug him. Jesus comes to speak the words of life to him. He said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Dost thou, that's personally speaking to him directly, dost thou believe? Again, what's Jesus driving at? He's driving at faith. The only hope for people is to believe on him. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? The only hope man has for forgiveness of sins and everlasting life is to believe on the Son of God. Our faith must be on the Son of God. It's interesting. This is only one of two times where Jesus explicitly refers to himself as the Son of God. Now, many times he talks about the Father and the Son, so it's implied, but specifically as the Son of God. Until the man passed the test for standing up what is right and not fearing man or fearing the consequences, he couldn't come to saving faith in Christ. See, the man knew Jesus had healed him, and he thought Jesus was a prophet, and he knew Jesus had to be a man from God, but he didn't have the saving faith of Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God, and putting all his faith in him. But that couldn't happen until he first passed the test. But praise God, he did pass the test. So in verse 36, we have the blind man's response. He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And then love his question, Who is he? By the way, this is where the gospel all starts. It's all about who he is. That starting point. Out of who he is comes what he does. When Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The first question Saul said is, Who art thou, Lord? Who are you? Who is he? Man, that makes all the difference in the world. Who is he, Lord? By the way, you must come to know that Jesus is Lord. That is the confession unto salvation. Who is he that I might believe? See, we must come to know who Jesus is so that we might truly believe on him and in him from honest hearts, so that we might have the light of life. This is why the whole Gospel of John was written. John says, I wrote all these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. He says, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And here's Jesus' response in verse 37. And it's not just a response, but this is a revelation of himself. Verse 37, And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. I love that. Thou hast both seen him. You know, the only reason this man could see him, now I'm speaking physically, the only reason why he could literally see Jesus was because of him, because of Jesus. Jesus didn't come open those eyes, he would have never seen him. So that's the first thing he wants to point out. Thou hast both seen him. See, I'm the one who healed your eyes, and you've seen him. And it is he that talketh with thee. You see, Jesus didn't come to shine his glory outwardly to unbelievers in a luminescent, tangible way. He came to shine his glory through his works and his words. His words are spirit and they are life. This man, he saw Christ physically through the miracle that Christ did, the work that he did, opening his eyes and he could see Christ physically. But the way he's going to come to see Christ spiritually for who he is as the Son of God. It's not through the miracle, although the miracle is like the stepping stone, but it's going to be through the words of Christ. It's going to be through Christ talking with him. The power of Christ's words reveal himself. But only those who have repented and are doing truth according to their conscience will have ears to hear and hearts to receive and believe. Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. I love it. I love it. Back in chapter 6, Jesus said, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus Christ healed this man's eyes. He gave him physical eyesight. And praise God, hallelujah, from a physical standpoint of life on earth, his life will never be the same. But if this man doesn't receive the spiritual eyesight, if he doesn't respond and believe with all his heart on the Son of God through what Jesus is revealing by his words, his eternity will not change. And he'll be lost and cast out. Not by men, but by the Son of God. But praise God, this man was doing truth according to his conscience. This man had repented, and he was ready. And so Jesus Christ is coming to bring both sight and faith into this man's heart so that he can believe. Again, Jesus didn't transfigure outwardly before him to reveal who he was. He only did that for three disciples who already believed and confessed him. No, how's he going to reveal that he's the Son of God? He's going to speak to him. He speaks to him. Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And in verse 38, we're going to see if a man's heart is ready. When Christ's word comes and reveals who Christ is, the Son of God, those words are what bring faith. And then what we're going to see is that true faith leads to worship. By the way, true worship. Remember, the Father is searching for true worshipers. Amen. If the heart's ready and the heart's right, the words lead to faith and faith leads to worship. Look at this, verse 38. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He said, Lord. Amen. He acknowledged who Christ is. He's Lord. And he acknowledged it from his heart and he confessed it with his mouth. Lord. I believe. This man truly did believe. This wasn't just lip service. He already proved himself to not have a stony heart, as he had endured the persecution for what Jesus did for him physically. But how can we know if he believed? Many say they have faith, and many deceive their own hearts. What is the proof that the faith is real and living? He said, Lord, I believe. But how do we know he believed? It says, and he worshiped him. His faith is revealed not just in his words, but by his works. He worships Christ without reserve, without hesitation, no shame, no fear, no concern for what people will think. Once he receives this revelation of Christ, that's it. Lord, I believe. Bam! And he falls down on his face and worships Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is worthy of worship and glory and honor and blessing. This is what the Father is seeking for. the true worshipers, who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, not in certain clothes, on certain times of certain days, in certain buildings. No, no. Those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth, with no shame, with no concern for what others think, because they've had a true revelation of who Jesus is, and their hearts were made ready to receive that seed of everlasting life. It's beautiful. And you'd almost think the chapter would end there, but it doesn't. You know, in eternity, that's how the story's going to end. Lord, we believe, and we're going to worship, and we're going to worship forever and ever, and it's going to be beautiful, and hallelujah, and we'll rejoice in Christ, and it'll be wonderful. But see, Jesus is still on earth, and He's still dealing with unbelievers. There's still lost people. There's still enemies around. And so He still needs to keep bringing truth like a sharp two-edged sword to keep cutting into their hearts to try to divide asunder soul and spirit. And so, because we're on earth, the chapter's not done. So verse 39, and Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, that they which see might be made blind." So, praise God. I mean, this is wonderful. A man has come to faith in the Son of God. He believes on the Son. He's now passed from death unto life. He'll never come into condemnation. He has everlasting life. He's going to be raised up with Christ at the last day. Hallelujah. There's more rejoicing right now in heaven because one sinner has come home. Amen. Now, he wasn't a man like living in sin and living in uncleanness and just came to repentance. I think he had repented a while ago. But now he's come to saving faith. And this is huge and it's wonderful and it's celebration. But Jesus has a lot more work to do because there's still unbelievers and enemies. And so he declares to everybody, he's going to speak to all. He doesn't just receive the worship and the day's done. No. No, he says, "For judgment, I am coming to this world." Okay, it's important. Yes, it's true. Jesus did not come to judge the world the first time. The first time he came to save it. He came to make the way so that man could be saved. But let's understand, when Jesus came into the world, he came for judgment. Okay, what do you mean by judgment? Judgment. He's going to divide between the believers and unbelievers. He's going to divide between the true worshipers and false worshipers. He's going to divide between the light and the darkness. Christ is coming to draw the line. Okay, that's judgment. Judgment. Everybody draws the line somewhere between what's good and evil, between who's acceptable and who's not. Christ is coming to draw the real line where God draws the line, not where man draws the line. See, where man draws the line, that's false judgment. No, he's coming for judgment, for true judgment. For judgment, I am come. Amen? The I am has come. Matthew 1:23, Emmanuel, God with us. For judgment, I am come into this world. Now, we got to understand, Jesus came into the world for many reasons. For many reasons. I listed 10 here, and there's more than that. Here, he came for judgment. Secondly, to bear witness unto the truth, chapter 18, verse 37. Third, to be the light in the world, chapter 12, verse 46. Fourth, to bring life and abundant life to the sheep, 10, verse 10. Five, to bring a sword or division, Matthew 10, verse 34, Luke 12, verse 51. Six, to fulfill the law and the prophets, Matthew 5, verse 17. 7, to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. 8, to redeem those under the law, Galatians 4, verse 4 through 5. 9, for the suffering of death, Hebrews 2, verse 9. 10, that he might destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3, verse 8. 10 reasons where it's explicitly stated in the scriptures as to why Jesus came into the world or was manifested. Came for many reasons. But here, he says, for judgment I'm coming to the world. Why? So that they which see not might see. Okay, so it's implying that those who can't see, they're going to be able to see. He's going to help them to see. And that those who see might be made blind. See, this is the utter importance of humility versus pride. Of no self-confidence versus self-confidence. Of God-dependence versus self-dependence. Of seeking God's righteousness versus self-righteousness of the law. Of seeking God's honor versus man's honor. Of seeking and believing God's words versus believing and honoring the traditions of men. Jesus came so that those who had no hope and knew they had no hope could finally have the hope of eternal life in Christ. And he came so that those who thought they had everything and thought they had everything figured out and knew God could be left in darkness. Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Now, they weren't really wise and prudent. They were just wise and prudent in their own eyes. They thought they were wise and prudent. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. For even so it seemed good in thy sight. God chooses the humble, the weak, the lowly, and in this case, a man who was blind since birth that people talked about behind his back about some secret sin in the family, God chose him. God called him. God drew him to his son. But the ones who thought they saw clearly and thought they were the instructor of the foolish and the teacher of babes and the guide of the blind, said that they which see might be made blind. Now in verse 40 it says, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? This is the Pharisees' response. It says, some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words. Amazing the kind of responses that come from those who hear Christ's words. Instead of fearing God, instead of trembling, saying, oh no, are we too full of ourselves? Do we think we're something that we're not? Oh God, have mercy. No. Are we blind also? And again, you don't know what kind of heart they have behind this question. But the truth is, we know they are blind. In chapter 12, verses 37 through 41, it reveals that God had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted and be healed. But it's because they were willfully blind. We're going to see that in a second. But Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 36 through 37, he says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So therefore, he's going to hold them accountable to judgment, in judgment. He's going to hold them accountable for their own words, for their own declarations. Are we blind also? And so Jesus is going to shut their mouths in verse 41. And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. You see, if they were blind, if they were truly unable to see, they had never had a chance to hear God's words. They never had a chance to receive his revelation. If they were truly blind, he says, then you should have no sin. You should have no sin. Right? God's not going to impute sin where there's no word from him, where there's no law from him, there's no revelation of him. God is not an unfair judge. Romans 5:13 says, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. And 1 John 3:4 says, for sin is the transgression of the law. So if they didn't have God's law, if they had no access to his word or to any revelation, then yeah, truly they would have no sin. He says, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, see, but now ye say, again, they're going to be held accountable to what they say. They'll either be justified by their words or condemned by their words in the day of judgment. So Jesus brings it back to what they say. Jesus is a master judge. But now ye say, we see. Amen. And again, it's exactly what I quoted Romans 2, verse 17 through 25. You can read the passage. But the Jews, they were confident that they were the guides of the blind, that they were the instructors of the foolish and the teacher of the babes, that they had their confidence and boast in the law. Again, he's speaking to Pharisees, not speaking to some commoner, some guy out in the middle of the bush who's never heard anything. These are the men who supposedly lived by the word of God, and they made their boast in the law of God. He says, but now ye say, we see. Lifted with pride, lifted up with self-confidence. And therefore, they're going to be judged on judgment day by Christ the judge according to their own boast and their own words. But now you say, we see. Oh yes, the guides of the blind. Remember, Jesus Christ, the one who's been given the authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man, they're going to stand before Christ on judgment day. He says, for judgment I'm coming to this world. In that day when God shall reveal the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. But now you say, we see. See, lifted up with themselves, making their boast as if they are the instructor of the foolish. He says, but now you say, we see. So therefore, your sin remaineth. Now think about this. This is quite sad. Because Christ came to take away their sin. He is the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. He was manifested to take away our sins. But they refused to be gathered. They knew not the time of their visitation. Why? Was it because they couldn't see? Is it because God didn't want them to see? No. Because if they were truly blind, they would have had no sin. If they were truly blind, Christ would have opened their eyes. They would have rejoiced in Jesus Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. And they would have worshiped God in the Spirit. But the problem was, they said, we see. They were confident in themselves. They were confident in their religion. They were confident in their traditions. They were confident in their ability to serve God and be somebody for God. And Jesus says, because you say we see, therefore, your sin remaineth. What a chapter. A man physically blind is given both physical sight and the spiritual revelation of who Jesus Christ is. and he now sees and rejoices in Christ Jesus. Faith in the Son of God becomes a true worshiper of the Father. But then you got these Pharisees who think they see everything and know everything. And in the end, they're going to be the ones left in the darkness. They're going to be the ones who'll be cast out. The man, he's cast out of the synagogue, but he's received by Jesus Christ into everlasting habitations. But they're holding down the fort. They're maintaining control of the synagogue. That's their domain. But they're not going to be received by Jesus. They'll be cast into outer darkness one day. And isn't it something how Jesus heals a man who's blind? And praise God for the miracle. Praise God for the work of God. And hallelujah, that man's life was changed. But in the end of the chapter, the focus isn't on the physical healing. It's not on the physical eyesight. It's not about opening his eyes so he can have revelation of seeing the earthly things. But in the end, it's all about opening people's spiritual eyes. And with a man whose heart is ready, his spiritual eyes can be opened to Jesus Christ. He can have faith in Christ, faith in the Son of God, everlasting life. But for those whose hearts are lifted up with pride and lifted up with self-confidence, Jesus is trying to reveal their sin to them. Can't reveal himself to them. They're not ready. First thing the Holy Ghost wants to reprove the world of is sin. And so he is exposing their sin. Their sin of pride and self-confidence and thinking they have it all figured out. And he's revealing his judgment. This is session number 64 of the Gospel according to John. This was John chapter 9, verses 35 through 41. Amen and amen.